Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kawula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Wake Up Hollywood, this is our 50th show of 2015. Say hello to Mr. Jeremy Cole.
Thank you. Hello, it's good to be here. Great to be back.
He made it all the way from Hollywood.
I did. I crossed
the
hill.
Across the hill.
I trekked across the hill.
Into the valley.
I took Laurel.
Into the valley of darkness. Ooh. Oh, just kidding. I'm just kidding.
It was dark.
Welcome
there was no
back.
Parking.
How have you been?
I'm fantastic.
Dude,
I'm doing really
happy
well.
Holidays.
Thank you.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you. Merry
with
Christmas.
With your first child, man.
Yes.
Talk to me about that.
Dude, it was awesome.
Epic.
So cute. Every day is a little outfit, like a little bib that says, I don't know.
Day one.
I'm Meshuggah or something like that. You know, Meshuggah Hanukkah bib.
That's
really
awesome.
Adorable. It's just ridiculous.
And dude, it's such a great time of the year just to be happy and thankful. But that takes it to a whole new level.
Oh,
you know
yeah.
what I mean? It's just like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
And getting together with family
of
all
course,
over the place.
Of course. And you're just like, kiss my baby.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my baby.
Gets passed
Not
around.
Too much, though.
He gets passed around. You're like, pass the baby to the left hand side. Kiss,
that's
kiss,
awesome.
Pass. Kiss,
that's
kiss,
awesome.
Pass.
Did you get any gifts for your
Did
boy?
Did I get? Oh, for my boy?
Yeah.
He got lots of gifts, actually.
Stuffed animals.
It's like Turnabout's Fair Play, because I was always the guy who gave my friends like the music making gifts.
Right,
obviously.
Right.
So like my friends would be like, hey, remember?
Here's a violin here's, when he's
no,
ready.
No. Like, here's a toy drum set. Like, you know, like a
you're
electronic
like, cool,
something. Or here's
cool.
a, like,
yeah,
like dude,
you.
He's, let's just to be clear, he's like 3.5 months old, okay? This kid's not
you're
playing
like, that's
drums
really
yet.
Great. I love
it. No. But you know what? It's awesome because anything shiny or distracty or bright, he's just like, ooh.
Yeah. They're so adorable because they're so ADD. They're just like, oh my God, I love this toy. Oh my God, I love this toy.
What's more like
oh
he's
my
just...
God, I don't even know if this is a toy, but it's cool.
To me, it feels like they're still just trying to figure everything out. You know what I mean? Like, you see their mind get blown 100 times a day.
Yeah.
They see their hand. Oh my God.
Like, what is this?
Did you see this? But that's the new thing. So the new development of the week is that he's now able to sort of look at something and be like, I think I want to grab that and start reaching for it.
Can you see him, like, almost, like, formulating words?
No.
Like,
no, he just started babbling, where he's like, da, da, do, ba, ma, ma, na.
See?
So
but,
in that sense.
That's part
yes.
of it. That's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you'll start seeing those words becoming words.
Yes. Well, so what I've done is I've just regressed, and I speak his language. So I just sit there, and that makes him laugh.
Like, move it, my
he laughs like I'm the most ridiculous person ever. Or he's like, yeah, you get it.
He's like, you're on my level.
Yeah.
You're on my level.
We're talking.
Does he sleep a lot? Does he sleep through the whole night now? Not yet.
Not quite through the whole night. You know, like, he'll probably go to sleep right before I get home from this, and then he'll be up.
Like
some
4 or 5 in
yeah,
the morning?
No, probably more like 2 or 3. If we're lucky, if it's 4 or 5, that'd be amazing.
Wow.
But
you get to see, like, the dawn of the day.
Yeah, well, I usually get up. Yeah, I don't know. Heather does so much work. I can't take credit for anything.
You know what I notice is, like, a lot of my friends who are parents, especially the women, like, this maternal instinct that you never – you're like, oh, yeah, it could be – yeah, she'd be a good mom. Like, all of a sudden, just it gets pushed into overdrive. You're like, I never knew. I never knew that you knew all along how to do this so well, you know?
She's doing a great job. It's wonderful. But in terms of just, like, carrying the burden on her shoulders and back of like, getting up in the middle of the night and feeding the baby,
right,
you know? And
right.
It's just – the burden is more on her, and I just try to support her and try to be cool and
well,
chill.
Well, I got a taste of
positive.
That going home to the family for the holidays.
Yeah?
I took Otis home, and it was like, oh, man, I got to get his bag of toys. I got to get his wipes. I'm like, dude, this is like fatherhood.
It's training.
Dude.
No, it's training. We had Penny before we had Emery.
Crazy.
So, yeah, man, like it's
– man, I was like, this is like – like having a baby.
It is just like having a baby. There's nothing different.
Well, I mean, there's a lot that's different. But the fact that, you know, you're
name
packing...
Name one thing that's different.
Well, they can't really talk.
Your dog can't talk either.
That's true.
That's what you meant.
They're a lot furrier.
Well, you know, it depends on the kid. Keep going.
Not even 30 seconds in the house, Otis peed in my parents' dining room. I was like coaching him. I'm like, listen, you gotta be on your best behavior. Mm. Like, you know, I want you to make a good impression. This is your first weekend there. Like, you know. Mm. And he walks in. He's like so excited. And he's like, hey, look, I can pee, guys. I was like, dude, fail. You just failed.
Welcome.
But no. Dude, then the rest of the time, he was like awesome. He was super awesome. And just like my family just like fell in love with them on a whole new level.
That's awesome. I'm glad to hear it. And that was one holiday. Let's talk about the most important holiday of the year.
What's that?
Your birthday.
Oh!
Whoa, that was a heavy
heavy round.
Nice. Way to bring it. Happy birthday, Nikhil.
Thanks, dude. I just turned 25, man.
Dude, again?
That's awesome. 37, dude. I turned 37. It's such a... You know what, man? It's like, ooh, it's like limbo. It's like, I'm not old, but I feel old, but it's like not an eventful birthday, but it's also like, I'm out of my mid-30s, but I'm not quite 40.
You know what I mean? It's yes.
It's like a really like, ugh, I'm nowhere. I'm in no man's land.
It's like turning 22.
Yes. Like, that's special. Exactly what I'm... It's like, yeah, 21. 22 is like nothing.
Yeah,
36 is like mid-30s. I'm just about, you know, 34 to 36, mid-30s. 37, you're not mid-30s. Yeah. You're like... On the road, you're on the path to 40.
Just on your path to 40. So I'm 39. So I'm like on the cliff.
You're on the edge of the cliff. You're like, I've been there.
No, my point is that then you're like sort of walking up to a cliff and you're like, oh shit.
That's the hill. You're at the top of the hill.
You know what's at the bottom of that fucking cliff?
Yes.
40. Yeah. That's what.
I'm kidding.
So it was your birthday for real. Yeah, national holiday. My family, everyone took the day off work.
Everybody was off work. It was on a Sunday.
Yes.
It was a day of rest.
You're welcome.
You know what's really funny though? It's like my family took me out to an amazing restaurant. I gotta plug the restaurant.
Yeah, do it.
It was one of the best restaurants I've been to in LA. It's called Redbird. Amazing, Redbird. Amazing food. Anyways,
where is it?
Like, it's right in downtown LA. It's I think it's on like 2nd Street. Like, it's in this old cathedral, and they totally decked it out, made it look like a totally new place. But the food's just insane. I mean, it really was amazing.
Like
but
fancy pants, like wear a jacket.
Yeah,
too,
like a sport coat. You don't have to wear a jacket, but I mean, it was definitely like fine dining. It was like a tight place, like crazy. Your palate will just be dancing. It's pretty amazing. And then afterwards, I asked my brother, who's 4 years older than me. I'm like, hey, dude, you want to go to an arcade? He was like, seriously? I'm like, dude, I just looked online and there's an arcade that is, it's all video games from the 80s.
And it's like beer, I bet.
Yeah, it was a bar. It was a bar. It's called 82.
82.
So I was like, dude, can you come to the arcade with me, dude?
Like, can I have some money for quarters?
Yeah, seriously. So he came with me and dude, I spent all night playing like NBA Jam, Superstars of Wrestling.
Did they have Rampage?
Mortal Kombat. I played Rampage. That was the first game I played,
really?
Man! Dude.
That was the first game. Rampage was hot.
Dude, Rampage was the shit. They had Off-Road. Do you remember that game?
Yeah, Off-Road? I do remember Off-Road.
Dude.
Hang on. I'm blanking on the name. The game I
want that game.
Was Rampage? Rampage is the one with the Godzilla guy.
Yeah.
There was another game where you build walls of your castle around yourself, and then you shoot across a river at the other guy and use a spinning ball.
Oh, dude.
Someone call and tell us what the name
is. Oh, I know what you're talking about. I remember that game.
I used to know what it was called.
Yes.
It's my favorite.
Yes.
I remember that game and don't remember that game. One day I will find and buy.
And you know what the funny thing was? Like, dude, there was seriously like a line for Street Fighter 2.
Was it turbo or regular?
No, it was like regular, but I was like, dude, this is just like the bowling alley, like from like 1992, man. It was like, it was, and people had their quarters up, like, you know, like, oh, I got really? Next, man.
That was my quarter, dog.
Yeah, dude, it was like, seriously, like, dude, guys, seriously, there are other games, man, but it was like going back in time.
You said that?
Well, I didn't say that.
No, you got in line and you put your quarter on the damn machine and you waited for your turn.
I'll wait it out, man. No, but you know what? It was funny because there's so many games that I remember being really good at, and then you don't play those games for 20 years.
Yes.
And then you're not that good at those games anymore. It's
interesting.
Like, It was very. It kind of hurt a little bit. It was like a sting.
But which games would you say that you were really
like
good
off
at?
Off road, I was awesome at that game. Like okay. when I had it on, you know, Nintendo. When I played it, I knew how to soup up the car. So it's like I didn't even need to use the nitros. Right. You know, and like you know when you use the nitros, you like fly across the whole screen.
Yep.
Like, dude, I was flying into every wall. Like, I had turns where I was going against all the cars. I was like, dude, this is
Your
rookie.
Reflexes.
Yeah.
You know what? When you were really good at it, you didn't know how to drive a real car yet.
Yeah,
that's the first thing.
That's true. The other thing, too, is like there were two guys playing it. So I was like, hey, guy, I got next. And I was like, I got this. And, dude, they were like, dude, this guy kind of sucks.
Can we make him go away somehow? Is there a bouncer?
I was like, dude, seriously.
I have a question about... Just how the arcade works. Is it quarters or tokens?
It's all quarters.
Real quarters.
And there's no charge to walk in. So I was like, this is awesome.
You think they should charge a cover?
Well, there's
Don't
other
give
places.
Them there any are the, terrible
well,
ideas.
No, I'm just saying, like, that's what makes it awesome. It's just like you walk in and you're like, there's like a pinball room and then there's all video games. And
nice. I went to a place like that up in Portland that was awesome. I don't know, something awesome in 80s sounding. I don't remember.
Totally rad.
Yeah, no. It was like breakage. I don't know.
Breakage.
I don't know what it's really called. I'm sorry. I feel like I should look it up so I can plug them.
Breakage.
Someone's like, oh my God, he's going to. No, no.
I'm, you're like, breakage.
No promotion for you.
Sorry. Anyways. It looks like our special guest has arrived. Am Mr. Right? Corey Phillips.
Is this the right place?
This is the right place. Hey. How's
it going?
He's here. He's here all night, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I think we have a caller.
We do
Hold
have
on.
A call.
Who is
this? Will be my first time doing this.
Oh, it's we're
pretty Hello, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm trying to listen to your radio show.
Good. We're on the air right now. You're on the air with us.
Oh, dear. How do I listen? Am I going to listen just through my phone?
Well, you can listen through your phone. We're on channel 2. It's called Wake Up Hollywood on LA Talk Radio. Do you have the app? Are you on the website?
No, I'm on the website.
All right, so go to channel 2 and then click on Wake Up Hollywood, and then you'll be able to listen to it. I love that you called in. You're like, how do I get in?
I think I recognize this voice. Baby, is that you? Is that
you? There
you are. I recognize that voice.
Who is it?
Wait, is that your honey?
Hi, Corey.
I'm being a little sarcastic, a little facetious here, but I recognize that voice for sure. I'm going to see you in a couple days, right?
Yes, you are.
Our special guest has his like, hey, I'm going to see you in a couple days, right?
It's so smooth.
Smooth operator.
So you good then, or can we help you with some more on-air customer support? Oh, she hung up.
Well,
I hope
she's listening.
I hope she figures it out. Yeah, that's exciting.
That's awesome.
So that was the first time I've answered a call. During the show,
it was for me.
Yeah. I didn't expect it to be for me. I kind of actually my fantasy was that it was going to be someone going like the name of that arcade in Portland is. That's my fantasy.
Actually, it's called Breakage.
So Corey, right. Wait. Yeah. Seriously, was that your mom?
No, it wasn't my mom. It was a really close friend and a fan that I know out in Big Bear.
Nice.
Where we're doing a show on New Year's Eve,
dude. You know the funny thing is, you're like, "Hi, I'm Corey," and like, "Hey."
I have the answer. Baby, it's called ground control
to Major Tom
with a K.
Oh,
ground control.
Ground control. Throw that glass.
Sorry. Nice.
I like breakage. Can we open one that's called breakage, please?
Yeah, let's do it. Breakage, because it's all the money that you lose.
And you know
like
what?
Breakage.
Next door we'll open it like a strip bar, and we'll call it cleavage. Breakage and cleavage.
Hmm.
No?
I was in until that part, actually.
Yay, our studio entertains you. Ooh,
sorry, did I not react favorably to your idea?
Corey's like, isn't this all about me, guys? Seriously?
Yeah, you guys just invited me in. I rang the doorbell. Like, what the F?
I'm just happy to be at the right place.
Hey, nice. Well, can you use your seductive voice for the rest of the hour, please? Hey, baby.
Breakage.
So we need to get shirts made that say breakage.
I love it. I'm ready.
Kind of like Thrasher magazine did.
Dude,
breakage.
I'm ready. Dude, you keep on doing it like Superman style. I like the way you're
like,
yeah, you're ready.
I opened my jacket and there is the breakage sign instead of Superman.
Corey Phillips.
So you Hello. Play music.
You are a badass singer-songwriter.
I do my best.
No, you are doing more than just your best. You are bringing it in real. How did you get into music? What was the thing that triggered it all for you?
I think it started with Mortal Kombat.
Well said.
Well done.
And that's our hour, so thanks. No,
it doesn't get better than this. It doesn't. That's good radio. You brought the comedy Sub-Zero right back from the other
wins.
Joke.
Well, I could tell you the truth.
Yeah, finish tell us him. The truth. Tell us the truth.
I mean, maybe Men in the Mirror 45.
Oh, good song. Dude.
Wow.
It had the lyrics on the back of the sleeve and the instrumental version on the B-side.
Dude.
And I got my sham on and my...
Sham.
And my hiccups and I mean, they had it. Right. They had it delineated. You know,
shum.
And I tried to memorize every single one, and I was just hooked.
You're like, that's it. That's where crazy. Can I get awesome. A leather outfit like that? You know what? I actually went into Westlake Village to like see about doing some recording there, and I was asking him. Michael did bad there.
I recorded,
and he said that the exact outfit that he wore on the cover. He wore like to
every
record.
Day.
Yeah,
every
just
day.
Like
he never took that off,
dude. Seriously, he said he wore it all the time, and like he would just be in that outfit. Like, yeah, can I get some water in the? It's like, whoa, dude, that's awesome.
We recorded there. No Side did with Tyler.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Westlake.
Yeah. And we talked about this once before, but they even had like a special like weird half size room where the monkey went and stuff. Like
the monkey.
Remember Michael Jackson owned a monkey?
Oh, that's right.
It was a whole thing when
I
we
didn't
were young.
Know that.
It was a chimpanzee.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Was that rude? Was that racist?
I mean, to
I don't know. Sorry. That was a good play there, Nikki.
Can you just say how, like the chimpanzee peaks? Like, listen. Like, he really peaks. All right, anyways.
It's like Daryl Hall.
So,
all right. So there's Man in the Mirror.
I got a lot of questions. First of all, there's a tiny room for the monkey? the chimpanzee?
We're opening up so many doors.
Yeah, so many doors. I love it.
Someone else is going to come and be like, that is not true. But for the record, because no one's here to tell me it isn't, it is.
It's true. I like it. That's okay. Right. All right. Now. You were a young little boy.
I was a boy in South Texas, you know.
What city?
McAllen, Texas, down in the Rio Grande Valley near the border. I was there till I was about 14, and my grandparents and my mother were really supportive of my...
Shaman.
My singing, my shaman. And, you know, I was in choirs there, and it just sort of, you know, developed this music ear, and I fell in love with it, and I moved to Kansas, and...
What age did you move to Kansas?
14.
Oh, wow.
14, 15.
You know we're not in Kansas anymore.
Oh, dude.
I've heard that.
Yeah, be careful.
I've heard that. Yeah, where's
were either of your parents musicians?
No, but what was really cool is I slowly found out that my grandfather played guitar and my grandmother played piano. And then, you know, as soon as I started playing music, then everybody came out of the woodwork and sing-alongs in the living room and... My uncle played guitar. My mother showed me some songs. I remember learning Down in the Valley from my grandfather. And so there was support immediately as soon as I like showed that I was into it.
Like, I want to do this.
I was hooked on it, you know, from, you know, Looking for Love from Urban Cowboy soundtrack. I was just like a little kid in underwear running around singing Looking for Love. But then
there's a music video there somewhere.
Yeah, it looks like he's about to play it, too.
I was about to.
He just grabbed for his guitar.
That's my instinct.
That's awesome.
But, you don't have to get in your underwear, though.
Yeah, I started playing music in Kansas around 17, 18, and then when I left home, I started traveling around, and that was my my tool for so many things in life, you know.
It's your journal, right?
It was my journal. It was my
therapist.
My weapon, my therapist, my, you know, the thing that justified me. And so I leaned into it so much over the years, and when I was 27... After playing a lot of music around the club circuit in Northeast Kansas, I moved out here to take on some different challenges, and you know the rest is history.
I'm going to stop you right there, and let's have you play a track because what a great little segue to like have you play. What are you going to play us?
I'm going to play you a tune from my last record called Woman. It's pretty much about. You know, just letting a woman know that she's there for you and you're there for her.
Shaman. I got it.
Woman, I've been really digging into you. Woman, desire, let me
tired of sleeping, yeah, I must arise. Woman, you're my rise. Scattered inches and the casual joys I've planted for many, but baby, they don't work for this boy. I'm tired of sleeping, yeah, I must arise. Woman, you're my rise. No more giving, no line about rushing out on the open road, trying to free my mind. I need that boat to get off of this shore and explore, a finest thing in my life. You're mine. I wanna wrap around you like a sea on shore. I wanna go down on you like a moon into the sea. You're my ride.
A lot of applause.
That's a lot of applause. I love it.
Dude, that was fantastic.
Killing.
Thank you.
Kill it. See, Jeremy? You didn't Shaman. Even know you were walking into that. Shaman!
No idea that the Shaman was going to be so strong with that. I got a question.
The Shaman is strong with this one.
Do you...
That's great. That's great.
When you perform, do you perform with the band? Or are you solo? What's your,
yeah,
what's your vibe?
I have a band. I call them the Groove Machine. That's the core members. If there's some larger gigs, I bring in some of the... auxiliary players, and we go by the Groove Orchestra.
Nice.
But yeah, that's my supporting awesome. Team, and they've been with me for a while. So
it goes from machine to orchestra.
Yeah.
They're like, we're the machine. We're going to serenade you.
Now we shall arrange.
The integral sprockets.
I like. Oh, I like it.
As opposed to toe nice. Demo.
And then it's just a huge ordeal.
And when you play, do you play electric guitar or you play acoustic?
I play acoustic electric guitar, and I sing. The band is generally drums, bass, keyboards, and myself, with sort of a small rotating cast of electric guitarists. And I've got some beautiful angels that come in and sing harmony with us, and
nice.
Percussion and horns.
That song was badass.
Thank
that song
you.
And at the breakdown,
it was hard.
Oh, yeah.
That's heavy.
When you say angels, I mean, do they sound like that?
Usually minor ninth chords instead of that.
I don't have anything like that.
Nice. That was very honest.
No, it was an honest answer. He's an angel. I'm like...
But he knows how his angels sound. They don't sound like your angels.
I mean, I wish I could walk into any room and be like, this next song, I'm going to have some angels sing behind me. What an intro.
That's great.
Right?
That's great. You could do it over a C major 7 and it would, and just bring out the...
Nice. Well done. I'd like even the like...
You sounded that out.
Even the like... Sorry, am I in the right like... Oh, hi. Sorry. No, my bad. I'm just going to go. Oh, wait.
I almost did this one instead, Jeremy.
That would be the wrong room.
Corey, that was such
a... Can you whip the monkey?
Oh, dude. Man. I can whip the sheep. Hold on.
You just whip the angel.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm in the right room.
I'm in the right room after you hear that. Dude, first of all, songwriting was amazing.
Thank you.
Love the chord structure that you're doing.
Thank you.
Love the vocals.
You would know. You're a talent.
Dude, no. That's why I was like watching. Mozart. I was like, he's doing some interesting shit. You really are doing like some cool movement. You got some like melodic figures that you're doing in your guitar playing. That totally accompanies what you're doing vocally, man. It sounds awesome. Really
super,
beautiful
thank
song.
Thank you, Nikki.
Super percussive, too, which I love.
Yeah. And you know what? It's like, you got like a Ray LaMontagne meets Martin Sexton thing going, and like, those are two
of
my
that.
Favorite singers.
I like that. Yeah.
No, really. They really are. So like, as soon as you open your mouth, I was like, God damn, that boy can sing. You know, I was thinking, coming over here.
Without the guitar, I'd sound like a smoky ghost in a room.
Angels
I was just trying to be your background. So, nice. Dude, so did you said you were singing in choirs and stuff.
Yeah.
When did you know that you kind of like, okay, this is, I want to be like a lead singer and do this? Or like, when did you know you wanted to write? You know?
Man, I didn't even want to get into choirs, but it was like.
sorry. I just had to. I
knew when you asked the question that it was coming.
Choir was so.
God
was
damn
it! Choir was such an uncool idea. But I was sort of forced into it at the age of 11 or 12, and as soon as we got in there, you know, with all the other uncool people, then you realize, wow, we're doing something really cool here. It's like exactly,
yeah. But you know what
it
I noticed?
It took a while before you realize.
But there's always some pretty girls.
It's like
always some pretty girls.
What am I learning here?
What I noticed in every choir that I've been in, there's always been a couple pretty girls. So you're like, all right, we're not all dorks, but you know what? We're dorky together, and there's a bond. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it definitely,
right.
It gives you like, okay, I'm not a total dork, but, you know, it's got some value.
I was in the tenor section, so I was next to the altos in the middle. You know, it goes bass, tenor, alto, soprano in a basic choir. So all the pretty ones were sopranos. In junior high and high school. Sorry, guys. Sorry, you were yet to bud. And
yet to bud.
So not only was there a blur in the role you were actually playing in a choir, am I a girl? Am I a guy? But you're also, you know, sharing music with the pretty girl next to you who may be a junior.
Right.
That was happy.
That's big. Well, it's big.
Yeah. But, I bet you have a name. I bet you remember one specific name, am I right? And if you got to stand next to, I don't know, Jessica Thomas. If you just got to stand next to her. Sometimes she'd smile at you that one special way.
And you know what? You never know. Like, maybe you were the quiet guy in high school, and then, like, you know, the girl heard you sing. And
you guys are
like,
having your own pump the volume fantasy here.
Anyways.
But, you know, choir gives you a musical aptitude that you can run with, and I taught myself guitar. And
so you started playing when you were a kid. But you really started taking it serious.
I remember
when you were
writing songs called. The first song I wrote was.
Wait for
I'm the wrecking man of the nation. It was, you know, a little James Brown hit, you know. And another one was like a. Ooh, ooh, baby, Malibu. I mean, I'm 12 years old,
right.
Like experimenting with this art,
right.
You know, and like. Thinking I got it, you know? And many years later, you still don't have it. And you're just
well, the funny thing is, it's like
brings...
the confidence that every kid has when you're writing something. You're like, dude, this is good. You know, it's like, and as you get older, you're like, This is questionable.
Yeah, yeah. Looking
when it's totally the opposite. It's like your shit coming out like as a kid is like really, you know, maybe kind of amateurish. Not your shit, but everybody's.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, speaking my stuff, I think I was really fortunate to like sort of digest the sophistication that a lot of the music I was listening to, you know, were feeding me. And so I got into that really good. You know, I was all into pop music, and I thought I learned the craft of songwriting pop music pretty quickly. And so it's allowed me all this time to sort of have my way with it and be inventive or you know, not do anything by accident per se. But
and when did you record your first record?
I did some live stuff that I would call my first record when I was in Kansas. And when I moved out here, I started work on something in 2008, which seems a lifetime ago. And I did what I would call my first, my self-titled studio record, and released it in 2009. And it was a 16 and a half song opus.
Damn.
That I thought.
At the time, was your first CD, dude?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You're like, for my first CD, it's not going to be an EP.
It's
going to
be.
It's going to be a two disc.
It's a double disc demo.
Double disc
but
demo.
I suppose that, you know, being a performer, I've gotten into that so much that the recording aspect of it, it's like, well, it's like now we have to catch up to what we've been doing in a live setting. So I had a lot of material to choose from and a lot that I wanted to display and share. And so I released that in 2009. I sold about 3,000 units. Didn't get much.
That's great, though, for that time period, too, man.
You
know? No, that's great.
Yeah, that was still when people were buying
CDs. For an indie artist, dude, that's, I mean, you know, major label artists don't understand how hard it is to make 3,000 copies sold. You know what I mean? Like, it's so much. You know, yeah. There's so much you have to do on the live side. There's so much you have to do with the marketing side. The radio promotion, yeah. Like whatever, the grassroots thing. It's
and
so
things
much.
Were all kind of changing at that time, and I think that, you know, that's when social media was really starting to both lend a hand and to detract from those from what performing artists or recording artists are doing. You know, it became a tool, but in a lot of ways, it just blew wide open the entire business. You know. So it was an interesting time, and I think a lot of that that change has been a challenge in readying my follow-up record that I've been in the studio trying to record for the last year. And a lot of that music we've been playing live on stages for the last 2 years, so it's been, you know, evolving into these new beasts over the last couple of years, and so it's taking even more time to try to harness those nuances as time progresses. But you know what industry are releasing them to? It's a challenge to choose your weapon among these many avenues.
When you did your first record, were you just like road warrioring it up, like, you know, just
absolutely.
Touring and pushing it and getting
absolutely.
Into people's ears or hands or, you know, whatever you could do?
Yeah, like you, man. I was doing like.
I'm just kidding. I appreciate the nod. I thought I should kind of sketch the moments.
I see you working that thing. I don't know when to speak or not. You know, it's like, what am I walking into?
You just do your thing. I will sculpt the moment.
You do your thing, and Nikki will interrupt you whenever he feels like it.
I was doing, like, you know, 150 shows a year, you know, in this market and, you know, up the West Coast and into the Midwest and, you know, trying to really hustle it, you know, coming from the old school understanding of, like, you gotta go work it blue collar way, you know.
Yeah.
I was all about that because, you know, you grow up romancing such a...
But you know what? It makes a difference. Like, you know, when you take an artist like Taylor Swift... If I put her in this room, you would play circles around her.
We would eat her alive.
Yeah, no, but I mean, it's the truth.
Sorry, Taylor.
Like, I hate to say it like that, but I mean, she has had it so good. in the sense of just being able to, oh yeah, here's my record. Oh, I'm gonna win this country music award. Oh, I'm gonna do pop now. Like when you are out there and you're playing your ass off for four people after you've been driving for 5.5 hours, after you woke up early to do a radio station where you walked in and there was just like pizza boxes everywhere and like you don't even know who it's going out to, and then you play a farmer's market gig to promote the show. You know what I mean? And then you do your gig.
Yeah.
It's like you are playing for more than just like to get your music out. You're playing for something bigger, and you don't see it then, but like when I hear you sing, just like even just now, I hear the life of a musician, and it's just like honestly, like it was kind of like this moment of zen for me. I was like, like somebody like Taylor Swift or a pop diva can never do that. They'll never be able to do that. You know what I mean? Because it's like living for the craft in the sense of like pushing it to the max on every level and sense of being. It's what makes it the magic. You know what I mean? So, dude, I'm gonna play something off your record. What are we playing? Because I want to segue into that real quick.
This is a song that's the song's gonna be on the new record, Sex, Thirsty, Love, Hunger.
That's the name of it?
That's the name of the
record. Love it!
You know, it's a sort of the dichotomy between, you know, our raw animal selves and our needs and the other part of us that is just really searching for some existential sort of mystery.
Did you used to hang out with, like, Prince or something? Like, no, that's deep. I'm not even making fun.
Every night for about 30 years.
Yeah, right?
Dude, you know what? It's you and I are speaking the same language. It's like we live the same kind of like world. You know what I mean?
I feel
like
you, Nicky.
You put your shit out there in the same way. That's why it's, dude. You were like the perfect guest to end the year, man. Like,
yeah,
holy
right
shit,
right,
man!
Real soulful, powerful.
We have no choice.
Yeah,
sincere.
No,
you know what?
No,
you're sincere. That's the best. The biggest, most overwhelming feeling I get from you. You brought a definite like level of seriousness in here, which is. Well, it's really hard to do.
It was lacking before.
Hang on.
Just Jeremy.
It's really hard to do around Nicky.
Dude,
and
your
me.
Chimpanzee is almost as good as this one, man.
Your chimpanzee might be better than
it might
his
be.
Monkey.
It might be.
But
this song, it's called Ride All Night for You. It's probably going to be an outtake version of the song that's going to be on the record.
I love that you just interrupted Jeremy.
it's like a roller disco tune, and it's meant to get down.
Well, let's hear it. Here it comes. Here it comes.
Rising, now your blood is rushing to my head. I see the moon. just a dream. We is going on, not looking for the sign.
Like a sexy disco voice, DJ
Moore.
Shamon.
I forgot to mention, as I usually do when I'm here, how wonderfully handsome your studio audience is, Nikki.
Oh, dude, they're great.
Fantastic. And I got to tell you, it's like they dressed up for you, Corey. Because usually, I got to be honest, usually gorgeous. These folks do not look as dapper as they do tonight.
But you know what? They knew somebody good was coming tonight.
Right.
How long did they have to wait?
And Corey.
Usually about 45 minutes.
It's cold before. Wow.
What was that?
And you know what? The crazy thing is, like, they can just, like, applaud on command. And you're out.
Wow.
Okay, see? They listen.
They're trained well.
They're trained well. They're like sheep, you know?
Corey, that song was funky.
Thank
Super
you.
Super funky.
I mean, yes. Thank you.
Let me tell you what I wanted to be doing during that song.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to be in a roller skating rink. I wanted everybody to be dressed in, like, a 70s. Like attire. Okay. Well, if you like roller skating naked, with some disco lights and some crazy shit going on. Like that's
a party.
Your music video to me.
Hang on. If they're rolling naked, then crazy shit is going on.
Well, that's true. That's true. No, but that was super fun.
I don't know why, but as you were describing that, Nikki, you also had like a strawberry ice cream cone in your hand in my fantasy.
Dude, probably chocolate, but nice.
It might have been dripping and running down your hand. It was creating a safety hazard, though.
Was I naked?
Because
if I was naked, it would kind of almost be Neapolitan.
Boom!
Whoa.
I'm just kidding. Wow. No, dude. First of all,
pink,
super funky.
Pink and brown and white.
There you go. See,
pink,
my palms are white. Mm. I'm brown, my and the ice cream is pink.
Okay.
See what I did there?
He pulled it in there with my palms are white. if you weren't paying attention at home, that's what he got us with.
I'm here all night.
I like how you guys roll here.
Hey, no, seriously though, I love the instrumentation. Super
Thank
funky,
you, yeah.
Dude. I love the sound of the guitar. Like. What did you do? I'm going to ask you a music geeky question.
Yeah.
So what did you put on the guitar? I mean, I know you got a wah on there. You got probably a little bit of delay on there.
There's some wah and some guitar. I think the instrumentation is like there's bass guitar. And by the way, it was engineered and a lot of the recording duties were split between myself and Joe Sachs, who's a
drummer. No, I'm just kidding.
No, he's a great musician, singer and guitar player. And bass player.
He doesn't play sax?
Oh, he does, too.
Okay, he better. With a name like that? Is it S-A-X?
It's...
God damn it!
It's I think so. I think
it better be.
That's how you can find him online. I encourage you to go out there and check.
Hey, speaking of which,
Bing, Bing, Bing.
Yeah,
what's your plug your website?
Hold on, and
he's telling a story, Jeremy. Way to go! Dude.
So
it's my fault. I just got excited. I want to promote you.
So yeah, so he's playing bass, and I think there's also
some drum,
synthetic bass or synthesized bass.
Okay,
and that gives it that heaviness. Drums, keyboards, electric guitar.
It's super funky, super smooth.
And then like five Corys singing.
I love it.
Yeah, I love that overdub process with the vocals.
Dude, one time I had a band and I was like, dude, can I sing background vocals on your record? I'm like, this is the only time I ever get to sing with myself.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe another time.
I mean, it takes a musician to really value that.
Yes.
Because I've gotten a lot of heat from saying that I'd like to, you know, harmonize with myself or do my own overdubs, and sometimes that doesn't come across very well.
No, I mean,
really,
it's your only chance to do it. Really.
You're the singer in your band. You're the guy.
It creates a cohesion that I absolutely love in sort of these dance and dance music. You know, if there's a different sort of song, you know, maybe something a little more mellow or folky, then I think other voices come in handy. You know,
sure.
You can listen to that song and the song I did before. On my website.
Which is
sexthirstylovehunger.com.
You gotta spell it out. Because there are a lot of dumb people out there.
S-E-X, sex, thirsty, T-H-I-R-S-T-Y, love, L-O-V-E, hunger, H-U-N-G-E-R, .com, C-O-M. Yeah, be careful how you do spell it, because you might end up somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the name of the record that we're working on and hope to be done with by late spring.
And you got a big New Year's gig coming up.
Yeah, right? We're playing in Big Bear at a venue called La Dolce Vita.
The Sweet Life.
The Sweet Life, baby. And yeah, we'll be playing there 8:30 to around 12:30 or 1. And it's a pretty affordable event. I think it's like, you know, it's definitely a lot more feasible than some of the places we won't go around here. But yeah, we're playing for a while, and it's up in the Village in Big Bear, and it's an honor to go up there and see a bunch of close friends and a lot of townies that get out of town. So yeah, looking forward to that. Otherwise,
that sounds amazing.
Otherwise, in the new year, we'll be at Malibu Wines and Harvell's and the Trip Bar at Santa Monica, to name a few. But I recently relocated back to Hollywood to, you know, dive into Crazy Town a little bit. And I'm hoping to do some things around there, too.
So. Good. We're hoping you do, too.
Yeah, baby.
So why don't you play us out with another track before we sign off? This is our last show of the year, 2015.
Yeah, man.
This is our 50th show for 2015. And, man, we couldn't have ended it in a bigger way. I mean, seriously.
That was Thank a big way.
That was
delightful.
My tugboat was a little too big for radio.
Hey, so, you know, real quick before you start playing, I just want to say thanks, Nikki. Congratulations on all your success this year, man. It's been a huge year.
Dude, it's shared.
2015.
It's shared.
It's awesome.
You're a part of this show as much as I am. So
this is my third time back, and I appreciate you asking me to do it. It's fun to do. Corey, great to meet you.
You too, Jim.
Inspiring stuff, man. Seriously, I'm going to check you out.
We'll see you out there.
Absolutely. I don't know about
Pig Bird, he'll be there naked in the roller skating video.
Strawberry ice cream.
It's like, damn, whose idea was this?
Dripping strawberry ice cream cone.
Just sitting there.
You should have chocolate.
Ice cream cone naked with the roller skates.
Nice. So what are you going to play us out with last?
This is a tune that I get a lot of love for called Go Now Elena. And it's a little different vibe, but I think it's something to share for sure.
Real quick, before we do that, I want to give a special shout out birthday wish to Ronnie, our engineer. She has been kicking ass for us for so long, and happy birthday. You are the bomb. I hope she heard that. Okay, Corey Phillips, what are you playing us out?
Well, I already told you.
But tell me again, like you're like, give me that segue.
Well, then we need the lead in.
It's a song called Go Now Elena. It's written about someone who needed to go out and grab life by the horns, grab the bull by the horns.
I got you.
You got it. Just grab something. And yeah, I get a lot of love for it, so I wanted to share it over the air.
Thank you.
All right, let's hear it.
Elena, You're looking for what everybody wants to see if I. So go now and find it. Elena, you're wishing for love who will help you conquer time. So go now and find it. It's your turn.
Corey, that was fantastic. You're an awesome guest. We want to definitely have you back.
Sure.
On behalf of Jeremy Cole and myself, this is Wake Up Hollywood. This is our last show for 2015. We'll see you in the new year.
Happy New Year.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.